Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL, some of you have seen me on Instagram, and some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life. Former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, what do we talk about in this show, Matt?
Well, we're gonna dig into the new Corvette Z06, which was recently announced. And let's see, we're going to talk a little bit of Ford GT and Toyota 2000 GT up on Bring a Trailer.
Oh, yeah. All coming up. First, I'll tell you about Trico. Over a century ago, Trico was the first to make wiper blades. That's right. Innovation, man. And they've been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since. Trico engineers, they study specific driving conditions, so you're ready for anything. I don't care if it's raining actual cats and dogs, Trico is ready for you. Whatever the weather, Trico wipers maintain maximum windshield contact no matter what your driving habits. You'll always find the right wiper blade for your vehicle, and that is why everyone here uses Trico, and the people who know their way around cars, and that's us, swear by Trico. Trico, the future of wipers since 1917. That's right, going back over 100 years. To find a store near you and see the latest offers, visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com. That is TricoCatsAndDogs.com. Get it on. Got to get on a choice. We're going to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Welcome to CarCast. Matt Pearl. That's Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea.
Hello.
What's going on over there?
Oh, man. Getting ready for SEMA next week. Mm-hmm. Just came back from St. Louis. Never been to St. Louis. But yeah. Went around all over there.
Some stuff to see over there. Good barbecue.
There's some good barbecue. There's a lot of toasted raviolis. Apparently, that's their French fry. everywhere.
I hear they have an arch there.
There's an arch. Yeah. I went up in the arch, and I did all the nerdy shit. I went to a Blues game. If you guys are not aware, there's a hockey team out there.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Anheuser-Busch Budweiser Brewery. I went to the zoo, a science museum. Did all kinds of stuff.
Covered some ground. Well, we're going to cover some ground on today's show. You got your Mustang back from doing the composite work on it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I did. The Mustang Mach 1, our friends over at Anderson Composites they asked to borrow the car to develop some new carbon fiber body pieces for it. So I got the car back. The carbon pieces aren't on it yet. They still have to make them. Mm-hmm. We took molds and they developed the products. And then we'll go back probably in December and get some of that stuff put on it. And then, you know, since everything's been super delayed, the car is obviously not making it to SEMA, but we started to think about where it could go to show this stuff off. Probably Fabulous Fords Forever. It's a big car show out here. Mm. Long Beach Grand Prix is going to be coming up in April again.
All right.
So I think the car will be there and a couple of other events. So it'll be interesting. And of course, I dropped the car off over there. Magnaflow went and did an exhaust on it for me, which is a completely tunable exhaust. It's got the factory valve and stuff on it. Mm-hmm. But now they did a nice carbon fiber tip. Looks fantastic. But then Magnaflow dropped it off directly at Anderson Composites. So I haven't even seen or heard it other than in a photo. So I picked it up and it sounds fantastic. And the one day that I finally get the car to drive it home, it's pouring rain on Monday.
Yeah.
It's just pouring rain. Like, there was three car accidents and a flipped over semi-truck.
Wow.
Just going in an hour from, like, whatever, City of Industry to Venice Beach.
Are you on wets or are you running slicks?
I was on full summer tires on that car. It's got the track pack on it, and I was just both hands on the wheel, just trying to keep that thing straight. And it tracks all over the road because it's got so much front tire on it. Just driving normally, mm-hmm. any little divot, and it wants to dart in that direction. Between that and the water, mm-hmm. you know, like when you're on the freeway, especially on the 10, and the water all pulls up on the left side of you in the fast lane, mm-hmm. you put a tire in there, and it feels like it wants to just dart right into the wall. So I was like, I'm not getting it. Like, it takes a little focus. You could barely see. It was pouring rain. It was not the best situation.
Yeah. I was looking at some of the auctions last night, mm-hmm. and I was noticing, I don't know if it was an RM1 that went off a couple days ago, but they had a lot of Aston Martin stuff in there, and it all went for way above the reserve, or way above the estimate, or a lot of it did. Kind of.
Well, you ride the wave of 007 movie coming out, right?
I think
there's a little bit of that.
That's probably what's going on, because some of those Astons, DB6s and V8s and 5s, and I don't know if there was a 4 in there or not, but they all just popped over whatever the high estimate was. And it does make you kind of realize, you know, there's a Shelby movie. There's a movie, you know, starring James Bond and an Aston Martin. Like, it's kind of good to time it, you know, correctly with the zeitgeist. I don't know if you saw the movie, but he was driving the wheels off that DB4, DB5. I can never figure it out. I think it's
I
a
thought
five.
There was a DB5 in the movie.
Probably
I didn't
DB5.
See it.
Yeah, it's so funny when you know those old cars. Like, he's on a mountain road, there's guys in, you know, brand new Audis, you know, he's trying to stay with him, you know, and like, you realize those cars were slugs. They were heavy.
Yeah.
They were running on, I don't know, 70 series tires, maybe. I mean, when you see this sort of, you see those tires on those cars. They were 10-speed tires, and he's sawing away at the wheel, and they can't, you know, he's losing them and all that stuff. And you just realize that car would overheat in a second. It couldn't move.
Yeah.
I mean, you have no. It is kind of interesting if you look back on like those cars of the day. Like if you took that Aston Martin, or maybe even if you took a Dino Ferrari, or you took a Daytona Ferrari or something, and you really went out and like sort of tried to drive the wheels off it, I think it would overheat immediately. It would stop. Well, it would get like vapor lock. It would just like those cars really didn't work very well.
Right, especially in the street trim. But I keep thinking of Goodwood Revival and White Watch, clips of those guys sliding around the corners. Because you're right, they're on the 10-speed wheel tires, basically, the bike tires. And they're just sliding on, and the guy's doing all this work behind the wheel.
No,
and those old-timers got skills, but...
No, it's true. I mean, I feel like the Goodwood cars, and you know, I've said it once, I'll say it again. You will have a newfound respect for Jaguar if you go down to Goodwood and watch them race those Jaguars. You're like, oh, this is not the temperamental divorcee's car from Beverly Hills. This is like a full race car. I gotta believe that those full race prepped Jags for Goodwood, those engines, you know, obviously they've been built by modern day whatever using lubricants and cooling, and those things are ready to go.
But listen, you want a lesson in car control. I get it. You can watch, you know, Gymkhana videos and Ken Block all day long, but you got to watch a bunch of those old timers sawing at the wheel in those old cars. And then you put on a modern day F1 race or IndyCar race, and you're like, yeah, these guys are fantastic, but look at all the work those guys are doing just trying to get around the Goodwood.
Well, the Goodwood Revival race is the best for, you know, it's not just the best for vintage racing. It may be some of the best racing you're going to see, and especially once it starts raining, and inevitably it rains. That's when they really get after it.
You follow Goodwood's social media accounts because they constantly post little clips of racing, and it's the greatest social media accounts, Twitter and Instagram accounts you'll find, because just, you know, every week you're going to see two or three videos of just, like you're saying, just like an E-type flying around a corner and the guy almost spinning around and getting it all. And then you hear some British commentator going, oh, got a little loose there. Oh, nice save. And move, right. Keep moving on. Like, it's the best, like, 18 seconds you're going to get every week of just watching cars fly around the track.
I agree. And it's the only time you're, you know, in a world where, you know, you watch Indy, you're basically looking at the same car with the different paints, different liveries mm-hmm. on it. You watch F1, same car, different livery. You watch NASCAR, same car, different livery. A little variation in the GT class. Mm-hmm. But this is the only place you're going to see like a big block Ford Galaxy and a Mini Cooper.
Yeah.
And the guy in the big block Galaxy is trying to hook it up, and he's pulling away on the straightaway, and then here comes the guy with the Mini Cooper through the S's, and he's catching up now, and it's like, it's just a feast for the eyes.
Yeah, it's super fun to watch. It's super fun to watch, but
I do feel like not enough car guys put that on their bucket list. Like, I talked to a lot of car guys, and like, oh yeah, I've never been out there. Like, get out there. Go watch
it. Just go
that.
And watch it. And then everybody gets dressed up for that event, for the revival. It's different than the hill climb, but everyone gets dressed up for that event, and it's a nice vacation. Like, it's a cool event to go to. I mean, both the Goodwood events, the hill climb's a great spectacle as well.
Right.
But if you can get to the revival and you can find a seat on the lawn somewhere, just in a lawn chair watching some of it, it's fantastic.
It is fantastic, and you will see, you know, multi-million dollar Ferraris, priceless Ferraris, and they will be going at it, and they will be trading paint. And speaking of Ferraris, I think I saw on one of my, you know, vintage sports car emails or whatever, I think the most expensive Ferrari is showing up to some event, some museum or something. Which is, remember, everyone thinks the most expensive Ferrari is a GTO, but as we figured out from talking to Bruce Canepa, it is that 250 LM mm-hmm. because it's the last Ferrari to win Le Mans outright, or or the last factory prepped one, or whatever it is,
right.
Production based or something, but that is the most expensive Ferrari.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, I was watching, there's a Netflix, so you guys, if you listen to the show, you'll probably be interested in this story, but there's a Netflix show called Bad Sports. Okay. And it's up there if you pop on your Netflix, and it chronicles, you know, basketball players who were shaving points, and, you know, trainers that were doping horses, and, you know, each one is bad sport. Not sports. And it's an interesting watch. They're like mini docs. I don't know. That's about an hour and 15 minute doc, hour and a half, I guess, some maybe different lengths, you know. And it's the usual story, you know, the NCAA playoffs, and the mob got hold of the ref and paid mm-hmm. him off. Mm-hmm. But they do one on Lanier, and I can't think of Lanier's first name, but
Randy,
that's right, Randy Lanier, who I think came over the shop and I met a couple of months back. Have to check that with Nate, but little guy, kind of mild mannered, older gentleman, like didn't seem to be not that much. You just meet him, seems like a nice little guy. They did one on him that I watched the other night, and it was really fascinating. So, you know, I'd heard about Randy Lanier, because Randy Lanier's name always comes up whenever we're talking about the Whittington brothers. He's like, there's the Whittington brothers, and then there's Randy Lanier, who's kind of in that group. But his story's pretty crazy, which is, and I'll screw up some of this, but he kind of grew up on a tobacco farm in Virginia or something, and then at some point when he was young guy, teenager, whatever, moved to Florida, and he started just working, you know, labor jobs on construction sites and stuff like that, but sort of became the weed guy. The episode is called Need for Weed. Mm-hmm. And he always wanted to be a race car driver, yeah. But he was just this dude from a tobacco farm, and then he went to Florida, and he really didn't know anybody or have any money or anything like that. And so he starts, like, getting weed for the guys on the construction site who are trying to score weed. And the next thing you know, he starts making a little money, and he buys a boat. And then he figures out he can take the boat from Florida over to wherever island and grab a couple of bales of weed and, like, bring it back into Florida. And then the next thing you know, he's taking container ships, and the container ships have a hull, ballast tanks in the hole or whatever, filled with water for ballast and this, that, and the other. And he's figuring out that if he welds a 3/4-inch like deck, like a separate deck, he can store tons of weed, like, in the hull of the container ship, and then make the ballast tank above it, or whatever the technology was. So next thing you know, he's bringing in tons of weed into Florida, and he's getting these huge paydays, and then he's like, I'm going racing. So he, buys himself like a March V8 kind of IMSA, whatever. And he is now racing with, you know, Derek Bell and the Porsche, probably 956 or whatever, okay, whatever it is back then. And then he and one of the Whittingtons, by the way, is like the co-driver. Then they go on to win, I think, the 84 IMSA championship as this just little privateer team being funded by all this drug money. And they beat the Porsche factory team, which is unthinkable. And then he's like, I want to go to Indy. And then he goes, he's got to do the same thing. He's got to just buy his way into Indy, buy it, you know, a team and a manager and mechanics and engineers and cars and everything. And he just buys his way into Indy. And he goes to the Indy 500, and he becomes, he gets rookie of the year in Indy. I think he came in 10th overall, but he was like the highest placed rookie since, Michael Andretti or something, or whatever, it was. So now he's an acclaimed Indy guy now. He's got his IMSA championship, but he's got this huge load coming in, and the feds are closing in, and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, shortly after his triumph at Indy, somebody, it's kind of interesting how shit happens, but two guys die with the ship because, and again, this is how life works. You know, like, two crew guys died, like, offloading the whatever, and you go, how did, you know, what's he have to do with that, or how's he responsible for that, or how did that work? The ship was going to be dropped off in New Orleans. They were going to unload in New Orleans. But word got out, someone got compromised or something, and the feds knew that ship was coming in with, you know, 200 tons of weed. It was going to be dropped off in New Orleans, so they were on to him. But Randy Lanier gets tipped off, and he's like, okay, I can't unload in Florida. I'll unload in San Francisco, but you got to go all the way around, and you got to go through the Panama Canal again and go back around.
Yeah.
To get to So now the ship's at sea for like 6 months. Now, I don't know what other containers are on the ship. Like, I don't know why the guys...
I didn't even know we'd lasted that long. I don't know if it's packed.
Well, what happens is after it's been at sea for so long, one of the ballast tanks or whatever leaks, and the weed gets wet, or at least a portion of the weed gets wet.
Okay.
Now you're going, well, still, how'd these two dudes die? Well, when the weed gets wet, it gives off methane. So now the two dudes are going down there to offload, and they got to get the acetylene cutting torch out, like cut out the floor, whatever it is. And when they're cutting it out, the methane explodes and two dudes die. The feds, I guess they get the weed off the boat, but the feds have already figured it out by then and caught up to him and show up at his house and blah, blah, blah. And the next thing you know, rookie of the year at Indy is a fugitive.
Yeah.
He's fleeing. He's going to like Puerto Rico or Jamaica or something. Like he's trying to get out of there. And they catch up to him. Some of the guys, you know, turn state's evidence and, you know, sing. And he ends up getting, like, life for weed.
For weed.
And then, so he just goes to prison.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's pretty much never getting out. He's got a wife, a couple of young, very newborn kid, and like a six-year-old daughter, and that's it. Then he goes to prison, and he kind of has a, you know, epiphany, and he works out, and he's not angry, and he's, you know, he does the time, doesn't let the time do him.
Yeah, right.
And then at some point, Obama comes into office and goes, look, I don't want a bunch of nonviolent drug offenders rotting in prison for the rest of their lives. So I think in like 2014, he gets out, but he does 27 years.
Yeah, wow.
And then he gets out and he like remarries his wife and picks up again with this new philosophy. Like he's not mad at the guy who dropped the dime on him. He's just
same wife,
just working now, like just clipping coupons and working. He was hundreds of millions of dollars and, you know, buying speedboats and living in compounds and stuff, and now he's just regular dude.
Still not angry when you get out and you find out it's all legal.
I think I'm almost positive Nate brought him by the shop, but this is a year ago or something, but he was a nice guy, nice mild-mannered guy. Want to go racing. Interesting story.
Let me tell you guys about Good Guys. The Good Guys Rod and Custom Association is coming to Pleasanton, California for the 31st Autumn Get-Together at the Alameda County Fairgrounds, November 13th and 14th. There's over 2,500 American-made or powered cars and trucks on display with an autocross, a burnout competition, and vintage dragster exhibition. They also have a huge swap meet with hundreds of cars for sale, and you can bring the family as well. There's live entertainment, a demolition derby, and a free kids zone. Tickets are on sale now at goodguys.com. It's good-guys.com. Free admission for kids 6 and under. But if you want $5 off, use promo code CARCAST at goodguys.com. That's promo code CARCAST for $5 off.
So, you know, it's interesting. You know, I have an obsession with the Toyota 2000.
Mm, yeah.
The 60. I don't know, 768.
Yeah. Where did I just see that recently? Did you email me?
No, but you saw it on Bring a Trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so my obsession of it is, A, you know, it's got the back history with Shelby and Shelby bumping out Pete Brock for the dealership and the racing program and all that kind of stuff. Brock had it. Shelby kind of muscled him out. Then it turned into, wow, these cars are $1 million.
Yeah.
And again, park one next to a 240Z, and you'll like the 240Z better. Now, the Toyota 2000 is like a cool piece because, you know, it's got the twin overhead cams. I think it's got a triple Mikuni side draft, probably 40s and whatever. It's kind of a cool piece, but yeah, it's 140 horsepower and, you know, not very large. And
yeah.
You know, kind of Japanese plain Jane.
Yeah.
And they got to $1 million.
Is it cool looking or is it?
It's okay.
Interesting.
It's interesting and okay. But, you know, I was kind of looking at them. And you know me, I always walk around and go, that car's not $1 million. And then other cars, I go, this car is $1 million.
Right.
And, you know, Ferrari Daytonas were $675 when these things were $1 million. And I'm like, Daytona seems like a lot more car than that car. They got to $1 million and then they dropped down to $5 million.
Yeah.
And then they went away because everyone who had one for $1 million liked that math. And then five turned out to be the top of the market. And everyone went, well, I'm not selling until it gets back up to $1 million. So my feeling is it's not getting back up to $1 million because it shouldn't have been back. It shouldn't have been at $1 million in the first place. But one did pop up after a long time and maybe for the first time on Bring a Trailer.
Yeah.
And I think it's at five and change.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's 513,000. It's one of their featured premium listings, so it's got another 6 days left.
What's your prediction?
I don't know. I don't think it's seven. I think it's 625.
Well, what is your – see, what I've noticed from Bring a Trailer, and it's kind of interesting trying to figure out the algorithm of Bring a Trailer. I think, and you agree or disagree, when a price of a car is sort of known, like those cars, they're trading for $5 to $550. It also – oh, you know, speaking of price known – it's kind of been doing that with the Ford GTs,
yeah,
new and old. I don't mean old. I mean, you know, 05 GTs, 06 GTs, and the modern day GTs. When you have a base of like, we know what this car is worth, it'll just jump right to the base the second day. I've noticed that. So
yeah,
everyone go like,
that.
Look, you know, it's a low mileage Ford GT, 06, right?
Right.
You're not going to get that car for $235,000. So
right.
What are we talking about here? Like, I mean, you can place a bid at, you do 160, I'll make it 180. But
yeah,
that car's not going anywhere.
That's right. You're not, it doesn't matter.
It's a low mileage Ford GT. It's going to go, and those cars are popping.
Yeah.
It's going to go for between 350 and 380. So why not just pop it right to 350? You know what I mean? And who cares if there's 2 weeks to go?
Right.
That's the price.
I mean, you could figure getting a bargain and just go to 310, you know, and then let it sit there for a while and see, because people are going to bring it up to that 350.
Right. And so the Toyota is 500 to 550, 500 to 575 or something like that. So in day one, it just goes to 500 because people are like, all right, that's the bottom of the market right there. And then you go 500 already with 9 days to go. Yeah, except for it ain't moving much.
Right. It's not going to move
much. In those next 9 days.
Now,
that's my algorithm.
This car, I don't know, 300.
Now, if this is a sort of specialty race car or something like that, and it pops real high at the beginning, then it's like, whoa, 9 days ago, this is going to keep moving. But not when we know the price.
This car's got two things going for it. There's 351 of the cars made, but this is one of 109 with a left-hand drive. So it does do something to it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this isn't like, oh, it's got the one with the 355 rear end gear. Yeah, no one's ever going to see that. Left-hand drive, you do see.
Right.
And to your point, these haven't traded hands in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all of a sudden on the more rare side of an opportunity to be able to get one. So for that reason, I think it could probably get around that 600 range, maybe even low sixes. I think it'll go just a little higher than the market has been for these cars. But I just don't think a lot of these have been trading hands for the reasons that you said. Like, if you spend $800,000, $900,000, $1 million on one of these cars, you don't want to sell for $500,000.
Well, also the guys who paid $475 back when and couldn't stop patting themselves on the back when it crossed $1 million. We're like, all right, well, now it's right back down to what you paid for it. And those guys are like, I'm waiting. And most guys who buy cars like this don't need immediate return on their investment.
Right. They're not really thinking about it. They're looking at this going, oh, I have 513, 6 days left. Be nice if this thing hits 600.
All right. So we got some Z06 news coming as well from the Chevy, who officially announced it. You want to talk about that? You want to talk about the Mustang platform?
Yeah, let's talk about the Corvette, because the Corvette is really kind of all the buzz right now. As great as the new C8 Corvette is, guys like Ken Lingefelter owns, I don't know, his company owns, I don't know, six or seven of them or something like that. And everything he keeps doing to it, he's like, the car is great. It responds well. It's just a real kind of just the best of the best when it comes to sports cars. And then we knew Chevrolet was going to do hotter versions of it. So here we are with the Z06. 5.5 liter, naturally aspirated V8, flat plane crank.
What's 5.5? Is that like a 350? Well, it's a Chevy.
Yeah.
Must be a 350. 5.5 liters.
Yeah.
Probably a 350. I mean,
I think it's a little less.
Could be
that.
A little less, 340 something. Yeah.
Well,
anyway,
it's 670 horsepower naturally aspirated.
Wow.
And it winds out at 8,600 RPMs, and the flat plane crank just sounds like a crazy supercar.
Is it a four cam car?
That's a good question. Is it a four cam car? I don't know if they did that with this technology. Let me see if I can find it in here.
Well, all right.
I don't think it is.
All right. So push rod or two cam. We'll try to figure it out. So, yes, good Chevy, mid-engine, naturally aspirated, high RPM. You say 88?
86.
86. And 670, did he say?
Yeah. 670 horsepower.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's what do you got, Max Spana?
Oh, no, I'm saying, it was 670. I was just confirming 670 when you said
okay. Yeah. Well, now we're there. Now, man. That's I've been.
It sounds fantastic, and of course everything is beefed up: brakes, suspension, aero.
Okay. So now we're there, and then that's what I've said. Like, and by the way, that engine, what we're talking about there, mid mount, blah blah blah. That's what I wanted with the Ford GT of 05-06. Now, you know, maybe they didn't quite have that technology. I didn't need 670 horsepower in the Ford GT. I could have lived with 500 naturally aspirated, but I wanted that high revving naturally aspirated engine, not the supercharger that never existed in the past. That was kind of my thing with that car. I just thought it'd be so much cooler piece to just be able to really tack it up, you know, with the supercharger and what have you on the Ford GT. I don't know. What do you think the red line is on that car? I mean, it could be in the high sixes
on the GT. I want to say about 6,400.
Yeah, which is...
But this is 8,600.
I know. 6,400 is really low for a performance car. Now, I know it's making a lot of...
I mean, it could
be
67, but it's not 7.
So it's making a lot of low end. You know, it's got a lot of torque, and I get it. But to me, that car, I just wanted that. I wanted that. I wanted that engine in that car.
Yeah, I agree with that, and it would have been a little lighter. It would have been a little bit higher winding. I think it just would have been interesting. Also, the supercharged version of that didn't do anything for their whole future EcoBoost, you know, platform, right? If it was twin turbocharged, I go, oh, I get what they're doing. Like the modern, the newest GT, six-cylinder twin turbo, had they done that, then I go, I get it. This is the EcoBoost future, but they weren't ready for that. So they go, oh, let's do mod motor V8. I like the mod motor, the overhead four valve.
Right.
But supercharged version of it, as cool of a car as it is, you're right. I think it would have been a game changer financially, especially in now. Like, what do you think those four GTs would be trading for if they were some cool configured high winding 8,000 RPM naturally aspirated, you know, even if it was 500
versus
horsepower.
Versus a Mustang engine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing. Yeah, I think a 5.5 is more like 339 or 340 cubic inches. That can't take more than 10 seconds. Come on, Max Banner.
But here.
5.5 cubic inches.
335.
Okay. I'm glad I revised my answer.
So now you have to start to take notice going, hey, you know, the Corvette's always been a pretty cool car, always had a very, very good capable performance variations of the car. The C8 comes out, and it gets the attention of the supercar clientele. And now you have a car that's, I mean, you're talking, the Corvette Z06 base package, bunch of cool stuff, and the Z07 is the optional. It's like the track pack you can put onto this. Pilot Sport Cup 2 tires, the revised magnetic ride, 15.7-inch front and 15.4-inch rear carbon ceramic brakes, 1.22 G's lateral grip.
what sticker on that thing?
I don't have the prices. Chris can see if you can find the prices. But also 20 by 10-inch front wheels, 21 by 13. In their ear. It's got a 275 30-20 in the front, a 345 25-21 in the rear.
That rim.
I was talking to Goldberg today. I was like, without magnetic ride, it would ride like shit. There's just no way you get a 25 series tire.
Right.
And, you know, like, and it's just going to be super hard with, you know, like, but what they can do now with the adjustable on-the-fly suspension, you can actually make that livable. And I don't know what the performance specs are. They just announced the car, you know, a couple days
ago. Around 90K. They have not released it, but around 90K feels light.
It feels,
for the track pack.
Right. But, okay, let's say you're into this car for every option at, $130,000. Like, where are you, you know, in the world of McLaren, you know, even Acura NSX, you know, Porsche?
Yeah, you're there.
You know,
I mean,
like
you're
performance wise and everything, and you're getting rear mid. You're getting,
Can we find out, Max Pat, if that engine is a 2-cam, 4-cam, or push rod?
Naturally, double overhead cam.
Double overhead cam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt made a face, so
naturally aspirated. Let me keep
going. Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of the engine. I think this is the back of the engine.
Reversed.
Because I was like, where's the
they're cam timing? So belts? We're here. I mean, they did it. I mean, that's the car. I mean, it's insane. No one needs that, but it's still they're there. That's a world beater.
It really is. It's going to be amazing when it comes out. If it's how many times you've been talking for the last decade about a good jumping off point,
mm-hmm.
and the C8 is such a good jumping off point.
Right,
the Z06.
They went to mid,
and they gave it a lot of thought. They said, "Hey, we got a clean sheet of paper for a Corvette. How do we change the landscape for a Corvette?
Mm-hmm.
If we go to mid engine." It's got to be a game changer performance wise, because their whole pitch when it announced, when I went to their event, they're like, we push the limits of what we think we can do with the front engine car.
Right.
So we're going to mid engine, which means it has to be way better. And then if you think about what Corvette has done in the lineup before, you have the base model. So you have the C8,
mm-hmm.
the Stingray, the Z06 being the hot, naturally aspirated version, and then maybe in a year or so from now, a ZR1, a turbocharged or supercharged version. If this is 670 horsepower, that could be 800, 850, or maybe a hybrid version supercar of it in lieu of, you know, whatever. Maybe they take, you know, the Stingray engine with hybrid technology and electric motors in the front, and that's a new ZR1, and here's your 800 horsepower version. So you get three very spicy variations of this car.
Yeah.
You know, but this seems fantastic.
Yeah, good. They're there. Look, I was never a Mustang guy, and I was never a Corvette guy for, reasons I've stated, quite often. But now they're there. And now they're world beater, world class, beautiful. You know, the look is good. Obviously the technology is there, the horsepower, the performance. It's like they did all the shit that I wanted them to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I shall now be a fan. That's the way it works.
Yeah, like I could have
saved them. I probably could have saved them 20 years. Everyone should just. I used to say people just pay me $3,000 to walk through their house, but Ford should have paid me in 1993, and I would have showed up and went, yep. I don't need a screw-on antenna on the front fender.
Yes.
If this scoop on the hood is not functional, it's gone. I don't know. You have brake cooling ducts in the back that don't lead anywhere. That's gone. Now let's get to the interior. Like, I could have saved them a bunch of time, but they're here now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's weird when they're that late to the party. You know what I mean? But better late than never.
And you should hear this engine. The idea of the flat plane crank is interesting to me, although Ferrari and other car companies have been doing it for a while. Ford did it with the GT350, the Mustang GT350. But it was only meant for that car for a certain amount of years. And it came with some vibration issues and some things they had to overcome. But for GM to look at that and go, well, what's Ferrari doing? What did Ford do? Sort of an affordable version of a flat plane crank.
Mm-hmm.
How do we fit in the middle of that?
Mm-hmm.
How are we not a $65,000 car, but not a $300,000 car? How do we, for $90,000, whatever, $90,000 to $120,000, call it, how do we come up with this type of technology and make it work and overcome the flaws that are inherent with, you know, with these cars? And hopefully they did it, because it's – when you hear this thing, it sounds amazing.
Yeah, I think we've heard it before.
Yeah.
So, Chris, two things. Is it a four-cam car?
Twin overhead. That's all.
All right. Well, then that's four cams, right? Twin overhead.
Twin overhead cam or valve?
Oh, boy.
Cam.
Twin overhead cam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Matt's going to have to figure this one out.
All right. I just keep looking
at three articles, and they all say
I hear
twin
you.
Overhead cam.
Twin overhead cam. All right, so it's a four-cam engine. Good. That's probably how they're getting the revs.
Which is what we thought when the rumors long ago.
Love it. Yeah. Aluminum block, aluminum heads. I'm guessing aluminum block and twin overhead. And good. Naturally aspirated. All the shit we talk about. You got to find, Max Pata, a picture of the dash of a 06 Ford GT, because I want to know where that thing. Yeah, I got about 66, 67. Red line. All right, let me tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Will you do one or the other? And then there is your automotive policy. How about your bundle? Geico makes it easy to take your homeowners, your renter's insurance, and bundle it all up with your automotive policy. Speaking of auto, I'll tell you a little about a road trip brought to you by Geico. I had a road trip yesterday driving the kids to school.
Oh.
Double road trip.
Okay.
Got up in the morning. Normally, I drive Natalia to school and Sonny walks, because that's essentially their life. And I got up, and Sonny was running a little bit late, and he had a little bit of a cough. And he said, can I ride with you? And I said, yes, you may ride with me and Natalia to school. And then at some point, Natalia nixed it. She's like, I don't want this coughing bag sitting next to me in this SUV. So at some point, he just said, I'll walk. And I was like, I don't know why you're not driving with us. And it's like, I don't want to get into it.
Okay. Yeah.
And I said, all right, fine. I don't want to get into it either. So I went and drove Natalia to school. And then when I turned around and came back, as soon as I pulled in the garage, Sonny was standing in the garage. And I said, what are you doing here? And he said, I want to ride to school. And I said, well, whatever happened to you riding to school? I just drove to school.
Yeah.
I literally.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all I did. Just turn around, right back home. Nah, I didn't want to deal with Natalia. So I said, all right, so you want to ride to school? I said, okay. So I said, all right. So I drove him back to school and dropped him off and then got home. And he went to his class. He coughed. some girl ratted him out for coughing. Then she didn't feel safe because he coughed with a mask on. Then he went to the nurse. Then the nurse sent him home, and I had to go get him again. That is my road trip. It wasn't exactly a road trip. It was more of a circular course. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't the Baja 1000.
No,
it
I
was
gotcha.
The Indy 500. Yeah. I was just doing laps. I was just turning hot laps through my neighborhood. But that was me. That was yesterday, and that's the new world order we're living in.
Sounds like Sonny got a day off.
Oh, he did. Oh, all you have to do is go in and cough.
Just go in and cough, even with the mask on.
Now, they'll send your butt right home. But thankfully, I had Geico. It made it all worthwhile. So you can get some Geico and get some bundling as well. Just go to geico.com. You get a quote. See just how much you can save and just how easy it is to save when you make your bundle. And then create your own road trip stories, hopefully happier than mine. Visit Geico.com, that is Geico.com today, and get your bundle working. All right, let's see. Did you find out anything about... Oh, well, yeah, what is our red line on the 4 GT?
What I got is, of course, the 5.4 liter V8 with the supercharger. 550 horsepower at 6,500 RPM. Doesn't mean it's the red line, but that's the peak power. And 500 pound feet at 4,500 RPM. So, you know.
Yeah, that's why we need to see the picture of the dash, I think, because that's, we will see
but
the
just
red
so
line.
We know, because so the new Corvette Z06, 8,600 horsepower red line.
Wait, sorry, 8,600
RPM.
RPM red line. Right.
But peak power is at 8,400.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We'll see if we can pop a picture up. But anyway, it stops pulling at 65. It's funny. I said 60. We were like 66, 68, 65, 67. We're right in there. It probably goes a little higher than that, but it probably stops pulling it at that. Okay. So it's a little, it's about 65. 65?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks to be about
maybe 67.
65, 66, yeah, in the mid-sixes. They pretty much said it's not going to pull past this, so don't go much past this. Minivans pull harder, pull more RPMs than
more
that.
RPM.
All right, that was my thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm a hater, but I said that engine in a Ford GT would be just miraculous. And get it. And look, you're not going to get the low end, but hey, man, it's a sports car. Treat it like it's a sports car. Yeah, what's that look like? It looks like 65, right? Yeah. All right. You can go to, if you're in the Baltimore area, I'll be at McGoobie's Joke House November 5th. And then if you're in the Philly area, be at the Keswick Theater November 6th, and then Helium Comedy Club, doing four shows over there December 22nd and 23rd. Go to amcorolla.com for all the live shows. What do you got, Matt?
Just heading out to SEMA, so I'll be posting a bunch of stuff on social media, and I'll try to send a couple shows over here for CarCast next week. So follow me at Motorator on social media.
So, until next time. This is Adam Kroll for Matt the Motorator DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
RockAuto.com. Why spend 30 to 50%, even 100% more for the same parts that a chain store or dealership might have? Why spend so much there? Why not go to RockAuto.com?
It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Everything from engine control modules to brakes to motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few clicks delivered direct to your door. Go to rockauto.com. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Corolla in the How Did You Hear About Us? So that is Corolla, C-A-R-O-L-L-A, in the How Did You Hear About Us box. So they know we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.